Thank you, Mr. Chair. That clock is 2 minutes.
No, we can start at 8:20.
Oh, right. We were so smart this time. Good.
Yes, weren't we though? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, we're a little late. I'm not sure we're doing too well. Chair Bain. Good morning.
Good morning. Moving on to the finance meeting. You can call the roll, please.
Committee Chair, Director Bain.
Here.
Director Moore.
Here.
Director Prado.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is the minutes from our meeting held on March 24th. Those minutes have been distributed. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Moving on to finance. Mr. Kelch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Finance has two items on the agenda this morning. The first item is award of the liability insurance program in the amount of a combined annual premium of $933,935 to Wilson U.S. West. The liability insurance program for the COA expires on June 1. Earlier this year, we released an RFP seeking competitive quotations for this coverage. A mandatory vendor conference was held. There were six insurance brokers that were in attendance. The proposals were due on April 18th. Only one proposal was submitted. It was from the incumbent broker, the carriers, USI Midwest as the broker. The broker submitted a proposal package offering quotations from various insurance companies for the needed coverage for commercial general liability, business automobile liability, and excess liability insurance. For the primary commercial liability and automobile liability policy, the insurance company of the state of Pennsylvania offers coverage of $20 million per occurrence for a premium of $535,500. The coverage has a retention level of $250,000 per occurrence. The proposal also includes coverage for employment practices liability and errors and omissions, coverage for public entities. There are excess layers of liability coverage of $130 million, so that the total liability coverage is $150 million. And those coverages are provided by Star Indemnity, Arch Insurance Company, Great American Assurance Company, Access Specialty Insurance Company, and RSUI Indemnity. This premium does provide the same coverages, the same retention levels as last year's quotation. It is at a cost of $6,000 below the expiring policies. It should be noted that since 2005, the tollway has, this is actually the lowest quote since 2005, while we've increased our liability coverage from $100 million to $150 million. And while we received only one proposal, the fee relative to the prior year was the fee relative to our understanding of costs of coverage at the closest comparable tollway are that this would be an attractive quote, and that we would recommend that the Finance and Administration approve this to be placed on the board's consent. Okay.
Questions, comments? Motion to approve.
Could I have a question on the MBE participation on this? You say it's not applicable, although you do note that there was an MBE insurance broker that participated in the placement of insurance. Can you explain that participation a little bit? Does that mean, I mean, USI Midwest was the insurance broker, meaning they placed the insurance, and you had a broker, an MBE, participate in the placement?
In placement of the coverages such as this, you have to use not only the primary insurance broker, but there's also some wholesale brokers that were involved.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, there were two wholesale brokers, and one of them was a licensed MBE.
What's a wholesale broker person?
They're the ones who, insurance companies don't like to deal with brokers and agents and that type of thing. So what they do is they go to wholesale brokers and they package several different programs together and go to the insurance carrier and get the quotes from that way. They, in turn, sort of split up those quotes and give it to the individual brokers who provide more hands-on participation with the local insurer, you know.
Okay. So then you deal with several different brokers. They're the ones that deal with us.
Right. Yeah, USI is the ones we go to for a problem, but then the MBE and Chubb, the two that we show there, they deal with the insurance companies and get things done. So you sort of have two layers that are...
Two layers to get to the big coverage.
It's sort of like a middleman involved.
Yeah. How do they get paid?
In both cases, they get a commission. But it's only commission on that. They get no contingent commission in either case.
They get a commission on the insurance.
Right, and that's built into the premium itself.
Okay.
They get, we pay the premium to
the insurance companies.
And then they pay the share part of that fee.
Right, back to the two wholesalers for the primary.
We know how much
USI Midwest, the broker that works directly with us, is compensated $75,000. And the wholesale brokerage fee.
The wholesale, the MDE gets a 6% commission, and the other one gets a 10%.
Of our 75 or of the 900?
Of the 933. And that includes all the commissions, everything else. For total, the total commissions or fees are a little under 15%.
So USI is our subcontractor.
USI is our direct broker.
Is our direct broker. And then you're saying that who got the time? I don't know. I'm so confused.
Yes, I know. The insurance companies are actually these insurance companies here in Pennsylvania, Star Indemnity, right? Park Insurance.
So they pay the somewhere in there. There's an MBE firm getting paid by
the Risk Management
State
Solution.
Of Pennsylvania, Star Indemnity.
Correct. Correct.
And what's the explanation, if you have one, for why there was only one final bid?
There were several. We polled the different brokers that were there, and there were a couple different themes involved. One said that they tried to put together a package that had a better pricing than most that our incumbent could not do that. They could not find better pricing. So they weren't going to send in a proposal and spend the money to send that proposal in. There's also a question that some of the other ones suggested that we hire a broker, one broker, for all of our insurance and go out and do that. Or that we do market assignments, which is what is used in many other businesses. They'll assign different insurance companies to different brokers. We follow the procedures of CMS as far as our insurance, which says send your specifications out and see what kind of responses you get. So we've never been able to use market selection since we've gone into the procurement law of CMS.
Is that the market selection? Is that a better process in terms of, is that more standard in the industry as opposed to what we're doing here?
It's not necessarily in government, to be very honest. In private business, it is.
Well, should we change it?
I mean,
are we getting better pricing? Does the private sector have better pricing?
Would we have the ability to go outside of CMS, and or could we solicit that opportunity or ask for that? I'm not sure that would be something that we would.
This is an issue we've been struggling with for several years. And there are, you know, we have received some pushback with CMS on alternative approaches. We've talked to John. He believes that we may be able to work with them to design a different process. I'm not convinced that it will result in a better fee quotation, but it may provide, you know, a broader opportunity for other brokers. What's happening is brokers with specific that have had relationships with the carriers are able to, through the course of the year, work with the carrier to develop the relationships and develop the policies for the kinds of products that the public entities want, and essentially, essentially tie up that business in advance before the bids or the RFPs go out, because they develop this more specialized product for that specific need. The others, as you can see, the ones that did respond that they attempted to do this could not find carriers to develop a series of quotes that could be competitive with this bid. So
then the broker kind of corners the market ahead of time because they know we're going to come out and...
What the broker has done and what most brokers do, you have brokers out there that will specialize. If you're in the business of of selling flowers. There are brokers who deal just with florists and that type of thing. The broker has developed a policy that includes not only general liability, auto liability, but also includes two very important coverages, employment practices liability, which normally is a separate policy, and errors and omissions for public entities. Now, those are very important, and those are not normal coverages. And so the broker involved is, if the other brokers were able to get quotes, they would have given us not one insurance policy for the primary, but maybe two or three different ones. I'll give you an example, Director. The coverage for a tollway that is out on the East Coast. They had hired a broker. They went out to get their insurance. They could only get quotes, even though they approached seven different insurance companies, they could only get quotes from one insurance company because of the class of business it is. Tollway. We don't like that. I mean, we're an amusement park. People don't like to give insurance for amusement parks like this. And in order to get the employment practice liability, they had to get a separate policy to get that. Their total coverage cost them, for $100 million of coverage, over $1,400,000, while ours came in at $933,000. So it's a specialized policy that they're trying to compete against.
We take a market assignment approach, and if you're able to secure a pool of brokers, and you take a market assignment approach, how do we know that we're making a market assignment to the broker that has the best ability to get to that market?
But the flip side is, if there are people who specialize, and in this case there's only one who met our criteria, they know that the market isn't working. So you said it was better than a lot of other tollways, but it still seems to me that if they've gotten to the point of specializing and they're the only ones that are specializing and applied, they don't have to feel constrained by the price that they submit.
I don't think there's only one that is in the market. It's this firm has a relationship with these carriers, with the carriers that have specialized in developing a product at a lower price than others can assemble independently.
Okay. Well, then yeah. I stand corrected. They aren't the only ones. They're the only one who has the relationship.
With
to me, that means they're the only ones, right?
It's like the NFL owners. They gave the franchise for us to this group.
I think there's being able to assemble different quotes to have a price that's higher and one that already has a relationship to assemble the quotes in a fashion that delivers a more effective price. And the others look at the incumbent price and say, I can't compete with that. That's what's happening. Not that there's no one else out there willing to offer these coverages.
Is that they can't compete? That makes sense. But the other question I have is the MBWB participant, is that MBE a real participant in terms of is it a company that is developing its expertise also so that it's doing, it will grow and become competitive, and or is it, are we just...
No. They work very closely together.
With the USI Midwest?
Yeah.
When
we have situations with the primary carrier, we've gone to have meetings and the MBEs there participating in that. The other thing we're going to get out of this particular program also is 50 hours of loss control. And a lot of times the NDE will participate in those loss control services that they provide to us. We'll get it from both the primary broker and, these are from the broker, these are not from the insurance carrier.
Okay, but I'm sorry, what is loss control?
Oh, to help us with our safety program.
Okay.
That's easy.
I'm much more confused than I was before we started talking about it. On one hand, we keep talking about transparency, and then we get one bid, and then it looks like there's no transparency, which creates an image problem, and it may create a financial problem. We just don't know, okay? What I don't understand is that in the first sentence it says so-and-so through USI Midwest Insurance Broker. But you're saying we hired USI Midwest? I'm confused as to what USI Midwest role is in this. It sounded like we hired them to go find us insurance.
We issue an RFP, which brokers respond to, and the broker though has the responsibility for going to work with the carriers to develop the package of policies.
So we're really just only hiring the broker?
We are.
And the only broker that really responded was USI Midwest and Briarcliff, whoever they are.
We're hiring the broker to secure the policies, and then we'll sign the policies with the carrier.
So the real issue is we don't have enough brokers.
Enough brokers that can find.
Because we're only really hiring the broker. So our issue is not with all these other, concern is not with Star Indemnity, Arch Insurance, Great American Insurance.
I think for what Mike was answering to my question, I like that you got a little angry that we were getting to something here. No, good. That the market competition happens when the broker goes out trying to get the prices from the insurance company. And so that's where the competition.
So did we have other brokers like come to a meeting and then they just all?
That's what John, I think, was mentioning.
So I think maybe to help people like me in the future, maybe we should list at least the brokers who participated in the meeting, because I think it's important for at least me as a board member, and if someone was looking at transparency, it's not like some guy met with us at a restaurant down the street. We said, hey, Max, go out and see what you can do and come back and you're the only game in town. I think that it sounds like we at least made an effort to get various brokers involved who would then go and try to secure the insurance. But if you were just to read this sheet of paper, it almost sounds like it's just one person and we're kind of stuck taking what they have. And we might be getting the best price in the universe.
Right.
So I worry, though, that there might be a little brokers conference every year in Hawaii where they kind of assign out, does this broker get the Midwest tollways? Does this one get the East Coast tollways? Are we their only client? Do they have other clients that are toll type systems, toll bridges, and that?
They have other clients that are public entities. And trust me, brokers do not get along that well.
But I mean, maybe if we listed that there was a pre-bidders meeting or whatever, and something like in the engineering thing, it says there were 16 packets picked up. Usually you say there was this many packets were secured, but we only got 11 respondents or something. That would make me feel a little more comfortable, at least. I don't know.
We could list the
It's like a giant black hole here. We're kind of stuck.
I don't know if we could list the names, but we could clearly list the number of.
Well, at least it'd show us that there was some interest in
right.
it. So.
Thank you.
I guess we need one.
Is that it?
Yep.
The motion to approve the insurance program?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The second item.
I think Director Saldana, you were going to
the liquidity working group. I did have a discussion with staff, Mike Colson, his staff, and Christy. We talked about the recommendation here is to go out and amend the fee structure for our financial advisory services so that we can get a fixed fee type of service where we look at all the the recommendation here from the discussion. I remember last time we talked about liquidity, access to liquidity, the fact that we have these variable rate bonds that are swapped to fix. We were trying to fix some of them out and get out of some of the swaps. We had expressed some parameters. Those parameters haven't been met in terms of fixing that out. We were concerned about should we change those parameters and maybe go out and fix them at a higher interest rate than was previously recommended. At this time, the staff would like to hire a financial advisory service firm to come in and actually give us a full analysis so that we can make a thoughtful recommendation in terms of should we move those parameters to maybe fix them out at a little bit of a higher interest rate. And in order to do that, we are recommending that a financial advisory service firm be hired on a fixed fee basis as opposed to be hired tied to a transaction, which is what we currently have. And so that's the recommendation we have from staff on the second agenda item. That financial advisory service firm will be hired to do that, plus also assist the tollway in compiling the 10-year capital plan required by the Tollway Highway Act. Sorry about that.
I will make a motion to approve this.
And then I think for the working group, for the liquidity working group, and for the board members as well, after we do that and get the financial advisory firm on board, we will have a committee meeting of that working group and then come back, I'm assuming, shortly thereafter to the board regarding any recommendations that come out as a result of all that.
I would just add that this amendment does allow for a change in the compensation structure,
right,
from one that was tied to the execution of the transaction to one that's independent of execution of a transaction. Doesn't raise the upper limit on the contracts, just provides us a means to compensate them outside of the actual final execution of a transaction.
And without unwittingly giving an incentive to recommend a transaction, we don't need one. So
this is a great solution to the problem that we were talking about last month, so thank you very much. I think we all felt as if we were kind of in a box. Thank you for working this through to Maria.
I renew my motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. I would like to point out, though, that I think we are sliding a bit outside of the parameters of the original bid documents, and I think going forward, when we do take new RFQs for financial advisor, I would hope that we would consider as part of that possibly just retaining a firm on an ongoing basis to be available to do exactly this kind of work and have absolutely no incentive to recommend us selling bonds in order to get paid. We should have done that before I wasn't here. A lot of agencies have gone to that approach. That doesn't mean you wouldn't hire different financial advisors to help execute a transaction, but it does create that barrier so that it's not, you know, we're recommending you sell bonds because that's the only way we can get paid. So this is a good solution, and at $150 an hour, I can't remember, what is there an hourly rate in here or something, or
we capped it at
$75. That is a very reasonable amount for the kind of service we want, and it's something that I think for Maria's committee to finish their project, we need to do. But I think it does tell us that when we do rebid this, probably later this year, early next year, we need to bid on those two tiers so we can create that kind of protection that we're not being walked down the road just because somebody needs to get paid.
Yeah. If I just may make this point, we appreciate that, and I think it's an excellent recommendation that as we look to the future, we provide for this type of payment structure, future relationships. We did have both the General Counsel's Office and our Procurement Office review that by the terms of both the initial solicitation and even the contract scope itself, these services were certainly within the scope of both of those agreements. It simply was a matter of when we set up the compensation structure didn't allow for general fees to be paid. It was just based on the transaction. So, you know, it would be important, of course, I want to highlight that we did make sure we wouldn't want the board to think it was approving something that was outside the scope of either contract.
I do not disagree with you. I read the scope of services. I'm just saying that this shows that we have to be a little bit more thoughtful,
yes,
when we do our RFQs because it takes away our agility. And I think it does open the door for us to begin thinking about that going forward, as long as we're staying within the original caps that they could have made fees on.
Great.
There's a motion and a seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Is that it from finance? Moving on to business systems.
Good morning. Business systems has one item on the agenda, the renewal of our contract with Igor, the Watchdog Corporation. Kind of a great name. We say Igor.
Some say
tomato. In the amount of $1,067,500. This is a renewal, and we have been working with them at this point for 5 years, and this would be the last of the renewals available. They are responsible for distributing, packaging, and really just supporting our distribution of transponders to all the Juul OSCO locations. That represents about 60% of all the distribution that we, all the transponders that we need to distribute. and about 85% actually of the swap out program for aging transponders. So just as a little visual, this box here is something actually that they print, fold up, and put the transponder in and distribute and kind of track and make sure that our inventory is accounted for. So we've had a great working relationship with them and would like to take this last renewal. You can see actually, if you just scroll down a little bit, that they are a DEP vendor. So we've achieved 100% in our participation.
But we will be looking to rebid.
We will,
contract. Or, we'll be also creatively exploring, as you previously directed us to do, potential, whether it be not-for-profit partnerships or other, opportunities to, fulfill and handle this service for us.
I'll make the motion. I think this we've got an excellent service here, and this is probably the next candidate in line for the solution that the chair and the executive director created, where we were able to get these not-for-profit groups. The Director Towns was encouraging us to do, and this one would be one that either going forward we could do it in a joint venture or something to that effect as well. And as I pointed out before, there's some not-for-profit groups in the Aurora area and the Lake County area that would be excellent candidates to approach on something like this in partnership. We have to get some names together. This is we critically need to have this done for one more year to make sure we stay continuity. Our lifeblood is IPIN. So move.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All in
favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and that'll be for the full board. Thank you. Moving on to procurement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, directors. Procurement has six items for your consideration. The first item is an order against the CMS master contract to replace two cargo vans with aerial lifts. This contract provides a source for replacement of these vans, which are used by building maintenance technicians to repair tollway buildings and facilities. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Landmark Ford Incorporated, in an amount not to exceed
$99,360.
The second item is an order against the CMS master contract to replace four computer-aided dispatch servers that are 10 years old. This contract provides a source for four Hewlett-Packard servers with a computer-aided dispatch system. Two of these servers will run the CAD software, and one will be used for the domain controller, and one will be used for CAD messaging to interface with the law enforcement agency data system, also known as the LEAD system. Award is recommended to the lowest and responsive bidder, Hewlett-Packard Company, in an amount not to exceed $39,707.40.
Skip both routine CMS contract.
Yes. Master contract.
Motion to approve items 1 and 2.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next items.
The third item is a renewal of a tollway contract to purchase Nucor Steel high-tension three-strand cable restraining system. This contract provides a source for cable restraining systems and parts for maintenance of the existing and installed crash protection systems. This contract is with John Thomas Incorporated. Approval of this request will increase the dollar limit by $40,000. The current authorization is for $111,000, and upon receiving your approval, the revised upper limit will be $151,000.
Again, a routine contract?
Yes.
Motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the fourth item.
The fourth item is a tollway request for proposals to secure a web-based plan room for construction contracts and system-wide on-call printing services. This contract provides a source for on-call printing services of construction contract documents, as well as a website with the capacity to host web-based plan room services for advertising, distributing, and archiving contract and utility permit documents, in addition to the timely issuance of addenda, usually within 24 hours, to the tollway's prospective bidders for projects included in the congestion relief program and its annual non-CRP projects. Award is recommended to Accurate Repro Incorporated in an amount not to exceed $143,250.